Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Pehei Amud Bet. The Gemara is discussing what we said in the Mishnah, and then when it comes to the windows and the thickness of the wall, they have Kedushat Yerushalayim or Kedushat Ha'azara. Now we have a statement from Rav, which is, Amar Rav, Gagin ve'aliot lo nitkadshu, that the roofs and the upper chambers in the Mikdash are not Kadosh. And is that really true? V'amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Kazeta Pischa ve'lelo paka Igra, that we had so many people that came together on a single Korban Pesach that only a Kazayit went to each individual. And they said Hallel when they ate the Korban of Pesach, and they said that Hallel on the roofs, and it caused the roof to collapse in. Not literally, but there were so many people that it was as if the roof was going to collapse in from the Hallel. So you see that they're eating the Pesach on the roofs of the houses in Yerushalayim. Sounds like they are Nitkadesh, so that Kodshei Kodlim can be eaten there. My love, the Achli Be'igra, the Amri Be'igra, that they ate it up on the roof, and they said Hallel up on the roof. Lo. They had it down below in the house, and then Vamre Bigra, and they moved upstairs to say the Hallel on the roof. Ini, is that really true? You're not allowed to have after the Pesach Afikomen. Vamarav, what's the meaning of Ein Maftir Achar Pesach Afikomen? You're not allowed to move around from one Chabura to another Chabura. As Rashi explains over here, because she has mano the hipater mina suda, when it's time to finish the suda after the Pesach, because that was eaten at the end of the meal, because that's the obligation with regards to all karbanot, that they be eaten ala sova, they eaten when one is satiated, not when one is starving, because it says lamashcha, the gdula, that's something kings do, that they eat when they're feeling satiated, they're never hungry. And then we said on that, ein niftarim ayidei afikomen. And then you can't part, or then go afterwards and have the afikomen. So here Rav says, what's the meaning of that is that you may not join another Chabura. Rav Shaul Lieberman in the Tosefta Pshuta says that there was a Roman practice called Afikoman, which was the practice to move from Makoman, is to move from place to place. Or Afikmani, to take one's utensils out, in essence, moving from one place to the other. That after they used to finish their feast or their meal, then they used to go house hopping to different feasts. And that was what was called Afikoman. So, Ein Maftir Machar Pesach Afikoman means that after the Pesach, you can't go do that house hopping because of the situation with regards to the Korban Pesach. It has to be the last thing that you eat, number one. And number two, as Rav says earlier, you can't jump from Chabura to Chabura with regards to the Korban Pesach. And that's what the meaning of Ein Maftir Machar Pesach Afikoman. But if that's the case, you can't move from downstairs to upstairs. Or it says, Lo Kasha, Kan B'Shat Achila, Kan Shelo B'Shat Achila. It depends. When you're eating, then you can't do that. But once you've finished eating, you've stopped the meal, then you can move to another location. You can move upstairs and do the halal upstairs. Tashma, Abba Shaul Omer, Aliyat Beit Kodshei HaKodeshim, Chamurami Beit Kodshei HaKodeshim. The Aliyah, the upper chamber above the Kodesh HaKodeshim, was more Chamur than the Kodesh HaKodeshim itself. Shebeit Kodesh HaKodeshim, Kohen Gadol Nichlas Lo Pam Achat B'Shana. This is the Daf of Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol enters once a year into the Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom HaKippurim. So that was once a year. Aliyat Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, and Nichnisim Ba'ala Pam Achat B'Shavua. They only go in once. The Shavua here means once a Shemitah cycle, once in 7 years. V'amila Pamayim B'Shavua. Some say it's twice in a Shemitah year. V'amila Pam Achat B'Yovel. Some say once in 50 years. They da Mahi Tzricha, to see what it needs. So Amar Rav Yosef, Meichal Nekum V'Neitev Inish? Wait a minute, from the Heichal, you're trying to bring a proof? Nekum will get up, and we will attribute from that a din, meaning that you'll get up, V'Neitev, and we'll sit down people. How could you take a paradigm from the Heichal and apply it to everything else? Because Shani Heichal, Heichal is different. Dichtiv, it says by David HaMelech, when he's instructing the people that Hashem did not let him build the Mikdash, but rather his son Shlomo will build the Mikdash. Over there he says it when he's instructing Shlomo and the people about the Mikdash. It says, he gives him the blueprints for the Ulam, the vestibule of Et Batav, and the chambers. There's no Ve'et in the Pasuk. Ginazakav, and its treasuries. Ve'aliotav, and its upper chambers. Ve'chadarav, the internal rooms. Ubeidakaboret, and the location where the Aron sat. Uchtiv, and a Pasuk later on in that same parak says, Akol bichtav miyad Hashem ala Yiskil, that this all came in writing from Hashem, that I was given this instruction from Natan HaNavi. So I have the blueprints from Hashem, and you can't alter the blueprints. But that shows you that specifically over here, the Aliyot of the Kodshei HaKodeshim are mentioned, the Aliyah of the Heichal specifically mentioned as being Kadosh. So that's a unique circumstance that that's Kadosh, but that's not applicable to everything else. So Tashma, try another proof here. Alishkot HaBniyot BeKodesh. Chambers that are built in the Kodesh, Ubtuchot HaChol, but their door opens out to the Chol. So they're built on the edge of the Azara. So they sit themselves in the Azara, but their exit and entrance is into the Chol, to outside the Azara, to Chan Chol. Then the inside of that chamber is Chol. Vigagutehem Kodesh. But on the other hand, their roofs are Kodesh, because the chamber itself is sitting in the Azara. Now you have a case here where the Gag is Kodesh. So Targum Rav Chista, Bishagutehem, Shavim Nakaka Azara. When the roofs of these chambers are flat or even with the floor of the Azara. You have to remember that from the Shar Mizrach, as we start out from the eastern gate into the Mikdash, the Mikdash climbs every Ezra that you move to, from Ezrat Nashim to Ezrat Yisrael, Ezrat Yisrael up into the Ezrat Kohanim, and then from Kohanim up to the Echal. It's climbing the whole way. So therefore, there's a possibility that you have a chamber here whose roof is level with the floor of the Azara. Since it has a roof that's level with the floor of the Azara, that's why it's Kodesh, because it's like the floor of the Azara. So where it says, Yachi Yema Seifa, what are you going to do with the latter half of that Mishnah, which is, B'niyot B'chol, if they're built in the Chol, meaning they're outside the Azara, U'b'tuchol the Kodesh, but then they open up into the Azara, Tochan Kodesh, and the inside is Kodesh, V'gagoteim Chol, and the roof is Chol. It's a case here where the roof is flat with the floor of the Azara. It becomes like a mechila, it becomes like a tunnel. And when it comes to tunnels, they're not a kodesh. Because if it's level with the floor of the Azara, then what we're talking about underneath is a tunnel. And tunnels are not kodesh. When does he say that tunnels are not kodesh? Tunnels are not kodesh when they open up into Harabait, when they exit the Harabait. Kitanya ayi betuchat Azara. If a tunnel opens up into the Azara itself, then it is kodesh. Ratanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer mechilot mitachat eichal chol, that the tunnels that are underneath the eichal are considered to be chol. Kitanya ayi shebetuchat the chol. That's about tunnels that don't open up into the Azara. They open up outside the Azara. So the shortest distance from under the eichal to outside of the Azara would be go behind it, which is Levin Amot, the western side. If they went out and then landed on Har Abayit, they would be Chol. So unlike what you thought in the Hava Mina, that this was a Mechila, a tunnel going under the Hechal that opened up into the Azara and was still calling it Chol, it's really a tunnel that is under the Hechal but opens up into Har Abayit, and that's why it has a din of Chol. Tashma v'gago Kodesh is a continuation of the words of Rabbi Yehuda. V'gago Kodesh indicates that the roof is Kodesh. So now you can't answer like we did before based on the Psukim, because the Psukim before don't have the word Gag in it. They had the word Aliyah in it, so that solved the problem there. But now they don't have the word Gag. He's using the word Gag in particular to say that those are Kodesh. So he's obviously not referencing what's said in the Pasuk. And therefore, we have to come up with a different solution over here. B'tizbra. How could it be? V'aktani gagim alalu en ochlim sham kodshei kodashim ven shochtim sham kodshei kalim. You're bringing me the proof from there. It also says there that you're on those roofs, you're not allowed to eat kodshei kodashim, which have to be eaten in the Azara. And you can't shecht kodshim kalim on those roofs, even though kodshei kalim can be shechted anywhere in the Azara. Velakasha gago kodesh. So what are you going to do with that gago kodesh? Amar Rav Chama bar Guria leotan bet amot. So specifically, one place that has this din of kedusha, and that's the Shar Mizrach, the Tanan. Bet amot ayu b'shushana birah. We discussed this before, the Shar Mizrach, shushana birah.
The Mishnah in Midot, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, tells us there were five gateways into Har Abayit, and the eastern gateway was Shushana Birah, that had a picture of Shushan on it. As explained, it was a tribute to the king of Persia, either because it was giving thanks, because he gave them permission, Daryavash Hasheni gave them permission to come back and build the Bayit, and so in order to give thanks to him and be Hamakir Tov, they put the Shushana Birah on there to remind themselves of the fact they were granted that permission from Daryavash Hasheni, or it was by the order of the Persians in order that they remember that they were still subjects of the Persian Empire, and that even though they were allowed to build their Mikdash, they were still subject to the rules of the Persian Empire. That is the Mishnah in Masechet Midot. On the other hand, most of the Mefarshim in Masechet Kelim in Perek Yud Zayin Mishnah Tet described there the Shar Shushana Birah described as being an eastern Shar of the Azara, the Azarat Nashim, that was the entranceway into the Azara. The Tiferet Yisrael says that these were five entrances from Har Abayit into the Azara, the outer walls of the Mikdash. Although the Pashtut, it sounds like these were doorways onto Har Abayit, not doorways into the Azara. But Rashi, throughout Shas, in Menachot, and again in Bechorot, describes it as being a Shar Azara, as well as Tosafot on our Amud here describes it as a Shar Azara, even though the Mishnah in Midot seems to indicate that it was a Shar of Har Abayit.
Achat al-Keren Mizrachit Tzvonit, there were two measurements that were there, one on the northeastern side, Achat al-Keren Mizrachit Tzvonit, and one on the southeastern side. Zush al-Keren Mizrachit Tzvonit, the one that was on the northeastern side, Haita Yitirav Shomoshe Chatzi Etzba, it was half a finger's breadth more than the Amah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The one on the southeastern side, I tell you, Teralea Chatzi Etzba, was a half Etzba bigger than the one on the northeastern side. Nim said Yitirah Shem Moshe Etzba, means that it was an Etzba, one finger's breadth bigger than the Amav Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lama hayu achad gedola v'achad ktana? Why do they have one big one and one small one? Meaning, not just, why do we have these two here, but why do you have a regular Amav? All we need to know is the Amav Moshe Rabbeinu. Why do we want to have something in excess of the Amav Moshe Rabbeinu? Shiyu ha'umanim notlim b'ktana, merzirim b'gedola. So that when people work, craftsmen work for the Mikdash, they would contract based on the Amav Moshe Rabbeinu, but then they would have to deliver based on this Amav that was above Shushan HaBirah, meaning that it exceeded that of Moshe Rabbeinu, to ensure that they didn't misappropriate any money of Hekdesh. They would always give back more than they promised in the contract, and by doing so, we would ensure that Hekdesh was never shortchanged. They shall yavo l'idei mi'ilah, so they'll never have a problem misappropriating Hekdesh. Okay, I understand that. So why do I need two? One that's a half etzba above and one's a full etzba above. Achad the kasba d'ava. One of them is for silver and gold. Achad the vinyano. And one is for building more coarser structures, the stones. So when you're talking about fine materials that are very expensive, there we only ask for a half an etzba above, both because they're finer, as well as the expense that's involved. They're much more expensive items. So we only ask for a half etzba in excess. On the other hand, when you're dealing with larger items,
structural items,
and things that are less expensive, like stones and parts of the building, over there, the vinyano, we ask them for a full etzba back in excess to ensure that there wasn't any mi'ilah.
So Rashi and Tosafot both point out the solution of the Gemara here is that, just like above Shar Shushan HaBirah, they had an area that was designated to keep these measurements there. It was used for the storage of Kelim. It was Nitkadesh for the storage of a Kelim. That's what we meant by Gago Kodesh. When you're referring to the Echal, it was also Kodesh, not in the full sense of Kedushat HaZarah. It was just Kodesh to store the utensils there. Even though technically you don't have to have an area that's Kodesh to store the utensils, nevertheless, that's what they designated its purpose or usage as, and therefore that's what they called it. They called it Kodesh, designated for the purpose of storing the Kalei HaKodesh, just like on top of Shushan HaBirah, similarly on top of the Hechal, that had the same purpose, and it's not a full-fledged Kedusha.
HaKalonot Vovia Chuma. This is why this whole Gemara is here, is because our Mishnah says that the windows and the thickness of the wall were Kodesh. That's both with the walls of Yerushalayim and the walls of the Azarah. So they are Kelifnim. They're like inside. Bishlam HaKalonot Mishkach HaDeshavi LaKarka Azarah. You can have windows that are level with the floor of the Azarah. You remember we said before that the Mikdash internally is climbing, it's going up. So if you have windows that from the outside of the wall, they look like they're in the middle of the wall, as you move along the wall, there'll be a window that could be level with the floor of the Azarah at the point that is the Azarah, because the floor is rising. So that's not a problem. The thickness of the wall, what's the case of the thickness of walls of Nikodesh? Elim Gain, you say that above the wall is Kodesh. And you said before that Gagim and Aliyot are not Kodesh. Shkachala b'bar shura. You'll find it with the case of bar shura. Bar is like Shem bar Yochai. Bar means the sun. Shur is like Ale Shur by the Brach of Yosef, means a wall. So bar shura means the child of a wall. How does a wall have a child? It means that it has a smaller wall that's adjacent to the larger wall. Dichtiv says in Echa, v'yabel chel v'chuma, that they mourned the ramparts and the wall. So we see that there was something adjacent to the wall itself that was smaller than the wall. From Rabbi Acha, v'item Rabbi Chanina, shura bar shura. It's a wall and then a smaller wall. So you can't say it about the regular wall, because the wall has got to be higher than the floor of the Azarah. So the regular wall going around, it's not going to be level with the floor of the Azarah. On the other hand, this smaller wall that was adjacent to the bigger wall, that could be level with the Azarah, because in the Azarah and Hashim, it was a smaller wall that's above the ground. But as the Azarah moves up, then that smaller wall, as it goes around the perimeter of the Mikdash, might be level with the floor of the Azarah when you reach the Ezrat Yisrael. And so that's how it could be Kodesh. You can talk about the thickness of a wall that's Kodesh. We're talking about that Bar Shura, that smaller rampart, that smaller area that's in front of the wall.
So in conclusion, the Gemara says that Gagin V'Aliyot Lo Nitkadshu, that the upper areas, as well as the Aliyot, were not Kodesh. And then, the Gemara seems to indicate that neither were Chalonot or Ovi Achoma. The thickness of the wall or the windows were not Kodesh. Elaim Kain, they were level with the floor of the Azarah. In addition, we have the Locha about Mechilot, about tunnels. And as we explained before, that tunnels that open up into the Harabait have Kedushat Harabait, not Kedushat Azarah. And similarly, tunnels that open out into the Chol, outside of the Harabait area, they would be Chol completely. And so that has implications halachically both for the time of the Mikdash as well as today. Because as far as Tameim are concerned, people were Tamei who had to exit from the Mikdash, Balikarian, and others that were Tameh, they could exit through the Mechilot, because the Kedusha dropped right away as soon as he has a Mechilah that opens up into Har HaBayit or opens out of Tachol. So it's the fact that they had a Mikveh and they had a bathroom down there, and these areas were not Kodesh. As far as today, number one, that would possibly permit people, if we have access to a Mechilah from outside of the walls of Har HaBayit, including the Kotel HaMaravi and all the other three walls that surround Har HaBayit, they're all there, including the Kotel HaMaravi. If we had access to the Mechilot tunnels from there, then they'd be Chol and it would be permissible to go into. In addition, as far as the Halacha is concerned for the Kotel HaMaravi itself, is the thickness of the wall, the Kotel HaMaravi, subject to Kedushat Har HaBayit? That might have implications for someone who's Tamei. Can they put their hand into the holes in order to put a petek, to put a kvittel, special fila to Hashem, into the stones? You're putting your hand between the stones, and that would be entering into the wall or the Chumat HaHar HaBayit. According to our Gemara, it would seem to be no problem. The only issue is that the Rambam doesn't seem to paskin like our Gemara. And he says in Hilchot Beit HaBechira, Perek Vav, that both the Hachalunot and the Ovi HaChuma are Kadosh. Now the Raivud says, and qualifies that statement, it's only when they're the level with the ground of the Azara, or that would be true outside, they'd be, have to be level with Har HaBayit. Yet, the Rambam himself mentions in other places that Gagim and Aliyot are not Nitkadesh. So the Radvaz, in order to reconcile with that Rambam, says there's a difference between Aliyot and the top of the wall. When you come to the object, you have to look at its primary purpose. What's Kodesh is its primary purpose. Aliyot and Gagim are not the primary usage of these areas. They're chambers, they're areas inside. That's their primary usage. That's what's Kodesh. When it comes to the wall, the primary usage of the wall is the Chalonot, as well as the top of the wall. There are no chambers. There's nothing inside the wall. And therefore, the Rambam believes that the Chalonot and the tops of the wall are Kodesh, despite the fact that he paskins that Aliyot and Gagin are not Kodesh. And that would introduce a problem with regards to putting Ptakim into the wall or into the Kotel HaMaravi. In addition, Rav Avadi Yosef notes that Herod built in such a manner that if you actually stand adjacent to the wall, if you go to the southern side and look at the western wall, it actually tips inward. And that was so structurally it was sound, the bottom is larger than the top. And that means as you're moving up, it narrows, and today the plaza of the Kotel Maravi is about two-thirds above the base of where the actual Kotel is. You see a third of the wall above you, there's two-thirds below ground. That means when you're standing at the edge of the Kotel HaMaravi, you're actually standing on top of what is the wall over there. Yad Yosef says that people do not have to be makpid for this. Although, Rav Moshe in Or HaChaim, Chelek Bet, Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, brings that it was the practice of the Brisker Rav, the Griz, not to go directly next to the Kotel HaMaravi for exactly this problem. Though it seems to be the Mesorah is that people do go directly up to the wall, and that many Gedolim do approach the wall and don't worry about this, most likely because even if you say that the walls move inward as they go up, nevertheless, they're still exposed to the Chol, and their primary usage is on the top of the wall, not on the sides of the wall, and therefore they should not be classified as being parts of Har HaBayit. Although as a sidebar, the important halacha might be that when you go to the Kotel HaMaravi, the Mishnah in Brachot tells us that when you're within the confines of Yerushalayim, you face towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim. When you're at the Kotel HaMaravi, you're on the western side of the Mikdash, but you're south of where the Mikdash was. And that means that if you face towards the Kotel HaMaravi, you're davening towards that side of Har HaBayit, but there's not the Mikdash in that way. The Mikdash is actually, when you're facing the Kotel HaMaravi, towards the north, towards the left. And one probably should angle themselves towards that side, towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim, so they're actually davening towards the Mikdash, and not stam davening towards a wall, that is the Kotel HaMaravi.
The next Mishnah. Shtei chaburot sheyochlim bebayit echad. If you have two groups eating in a single house, we'll see later that this is two groups that are joined together on a single korban of Pesach, but they're eating in one house. Elu ofchim epneim helach veochlim. One group can turn their face that way and eat. Elu ofchim epneim helach veochlim. And the other group can face away from them and eat also. Basically, they can separate into two groups. Even though they're one korban Pesach, they're allowed to separate between them. Vamicham beedza, and they can keep the hot water in the middle for the shamash to use for diluting their wine. And he can go back and forth. When the shamash himself goes to work by the hot water, he has to close his mouth, and he has to turn his face towards his group until he returns there. In order that there be no suspicion that he's eating from both Karbanei Pesach, or really it's one Karban Pesach, but the two groups, one of the groups that he joined, he can eat there. And if he has to go to the Mecham to help the other group, then he has to close his mouth and keep his face towards the group that he's eating with, so there's no suspicion that he's eating with the other group. And a kala can turn away from the group that she's eating with and eat her korban pesach because she's embarrassed. She's new to the family. She's not comfortable eating in front of them, so she's allowed to turn away from them in order to eat.
Matnitan Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda must be Rabbi Yehuda, because we have a machloket, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, as how to interpret the psukim in Parshat Bo. The Tanya, Alabatim, Asher Yechlu Oto Behem. In the houses, in plural, Asher Yechlu Oto, Oto Bein the Karban Pesach, in singular, Behem, in them. So it sounds like the one Karban Pesach can be eaten in multiple houses. Melameid, Shepesach Ne'achal, B'shtei Chaburot. From that you learn that a Karban Pesach can be split up into two groups. You would think one individual could move from one to the other location. You have to eat in one house. So that's referring to the individual. The individual must eat in one location. But one Korban Pesach can be divided up and have it be eaten in two different locations. From here they said, while he's roasting the Korban Pesach, he got hungry and he ate a piece of it while he was roasting the Korban Pesach. So now, he's kind of stuck. If he's a smart guy, he'll eat a whole bunch before the other groups who he's working for come to take their Korban Pesach, to take it away. Because now, he ate here, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you eat in one location, you can't move to another location to eat. So therefore, he must eat all that he can of the Korban Pesach there, so that he fills himself up before he sends it off with the groups. Because once the Chaburot come, even if there are multiple Chaburot eating in different locations, the same Korban Pesach, once they move away from him, he can't join them to eat anymore. If the Bnei Chaburah want to be nice to the Shamash, then they can eat around him, and then he could continue to eat, because that's the original location in which he ate. Tivrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and he's the author of our Mishnah, who says that you can have in a single house two groups that are eating one Korban Pesach, and they can turn away from each other, they don't have to see each other. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Alabatim, Asher Yochlu Oto Behem. What are we going to do with the Pasuk of Alabatim, Asher Yochlu Oto Behem? That's Yochlu and Batim is all the eaters in the different houses. That teaches you that the eaters can be in multiple places. Yochol, yehei ne'achal b'shtei chaburot. You would think possibly that you could eat it in two different chaburot. One Korban Pesach, it says, tamalover b'ayit achad yachel. Must be eaten in one house. B'mayikim iflegei. What is the machloket here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? They're both darshaning the psukim, but what leads them to darshan the psukim differently? The answer has to do with the pasuk of b'ayit achad yachel. The way the word is spelled in the Pasuk is Yud Aleph Chaf Lamed, which if you didn't have Nikudot, would be Yochal. What's the difference between Bayit Echad Yochal versus Bayit Echad Yeachel? Yeachel is the passive form of the verb, versus Yochal, which is the active form of the verb. If you say, Bayit Echad Yochal, he will eat it in one house, that means the individual. It's speaking about the individual themselves. Whereas if you say, Bayit Echad Yeachel, it will be eaten in one house, then the reference is back to the Korban HaPesach. It will be eaten in one house. And that's exactly the difference between these opinions. Rabbi Shimon says, based on the Pasuk, it says, Babayit Echad Yeachel. One Korban Pesach must be eaten in a singular place. And that's why it's the opinion. You can't split up Chaburot when it comes to a Korban Pesach. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right, it's read as V'yachel, but if you look at the way it's written in the Pasuk, it's Yochal. And that indicates that one person can eat in multiple places, but you can't have two chaburot, and that's the difference in their opinion. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Yesh Eim LeMisoret. That we look at the Misorah. The Misorah is the way the word is spelled in the Pasuk, is Yochal. Rabbi Shimon Savar Yesh Eim LeMikra, the way it's read in the Pasuk, which is Yeachel. So that's the difference in their opinion.
Even though, as Tosafot points out, that Rabbi Shimon in general holds both of Eim LeMikra and Eim LeMisoret, that's only in cases where the two are reconcilable, where both the Mudim are possible. But in cases like here, where they're mutually exclusive, then he's going to opt, or he's going to favor Eim LeMikra.
So now the Gemara says, Ayu Yoshvim v'nifrasa mechitza b'neihem. They were sitting down, also in a mechitza game, and divided up the group. The Divrei Omer Pesach Ne'achal b'shtei chaburot, according to one who says that a Pesach meet in two groups, that's Rabbi Yehuda, Ochlim, then you can continue to eat. Because now, you're just the same Korban Pesach in two places. The individual themselves haven't changed location because the perspective or the airspace that you're looking at is no different than it was before. Yes, you had more space that you looked at before, but the location, what you're looking around at, is the exact same place you were in before. So as far as Mikomot, you're still in the same Makom. As far as Chaburot, the division of the Mechitza makes you into two Chaburot. So the Rabbi Yehuda, that's totally fine. You're in the same Makom, but you're just two Chaburot now. The Divrei Omer, Ein Pesach Ne'achal B'Shtei Chaburot. The Rabbi Shimon says you can't divide up. You can't continue eating until you remove the mechitza. The other scenario is that they were sitting. Then the mechitza disappeared from between them. It was pulled out from between them. The according to one who says you can eat in two places. That's Rabbi Shimon who says one person can eat in multiple places. That's fine. Because over here you were eating in one location. When the mechitza went away, now you have new airspace that you never saw before. Your view is totally different. So you're in new makom. For Rabbi Shimon, that's totally fine. New makom, fine, as long as you're still in the same chaburah that you were before. The Divrei Omer, Ein ochel ochel b'shtei mikomot.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, it says you can't eat in multiple places. Ain't no claim you can't eat it. Yotiv, Rav Gadda, Kapashulei, Mipshat. Rav Gadda was sitting down and listing off this Shitut that we just read from the Gemara, that it made sense according to the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Gadda, Rav Ashi queried Rav Gadda, Biti Bailach, Nibai. Why don't you ask this question? Siluk mechitza vasiya et mechitza. Miyavi kebet mekomot ubet chaburot dami. Olo.
Why are you so certain that the addition of a mechitza makes it into two chaburot, and the removal of a mechitza makes it into shtei mekomot? Maybe that's not the case. You're stating it as a simple fact. That may not necessarily be true. We have to really determine what makes something into two chaburot or a single chabura, and the same is true by mekomot. So I'm not sure why you feel that the halacha is so simple based on the way that you presented it. Rather, I have this question.
Teiku, we left that as an unresolved issue. Hakala ufechet et panea, my time. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bahav, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, as we mentioned, the Mishnah, ipnei she bosha. Because she's embarrassed, therefore she can turn her face away. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a problem. So Rabbi Yehuda says you can have two chaburot for a single korban of Pesach. So her turning her face away will not be problematic. Rav Huna Breid, Rav Natan, Ikala Bey, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Huna Breid, Rav Natan went to visit Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Amar lei, Mashmecha, what's your name? Amar lei, Rav Huna. My name's Rav Huna. Amar lei, Netev Mara Puria. Have a seat on the couch over here, Yotiv. And he sat down. Now, in terms of eating in their day, there were three different positions that you could have at the meal. One is to be on the puraya, on the couches, on the beds. They used to lean down, eat on a heseba, like we talk about in Pesach. They also had safsalim, little benches for the people who were not of the stature to be on the couches. They had benches for them. And then karka, on the floor, for people who were on the lowest of stature. So here, they invited him to go on the couch, that of the highest stature, and he went ahead and sat down. They gave him a cup of wine. He didn't refuse them, he took it right away. Ushtaya betrays him, and then he took it down in two gulps. Below Hadar Ape, and he didn't turn his face away. Amalei, my time I carried Lach Rav Huna. Why do they call you Rav Huna? Amalei, Balashemani. That's who I am.
Why did you attach the title Rav to your name when you're doing all these things that seem to be inconsistent with someone who is well versed in the proper etiquette and conduct of a Rav? To answer him, that's what they've always called me, Rav Huna. So then they began to query and understand what he did.
So my daimos, Yamarducha native apuraya, when you said to you, sit down on the bed or on the couch here to have a seba for the meal, yota davto, you sat down. If you're not a person of stature, why did you take that position of stature? They have a principle from Derech Eretz that whatever the Baal Bayit tells you to do, you do. Now, Chut Mitzeh is found in a number of the Rishonim and Achronim as well as part of the Memra. It's not clear whether that is the Girsa from Derech Eretz or not. Except for Gleev, you have to listen to the Baal Bayit, whatever they say.
As you can see in the Ein Mishpat, he quotes from the Magen Avraham B'Shem Abach, who does have that Girsa. And he explains, what does it mean? If the Baal Bayit tells you to leave, you don't leave. Of course you leave. That's a proper etiquette. If he tells you to leave the house, to stay is much worse. But the Bach explains, and what the Magen Avraham quotes is that you have to listen to the Baal Bayit with anything that regards to in the house. But if the Baal Bayit asks you then to go out and do errands for him or do things outside of the house, in that area don't say we have to listen to everything that the Baal Bayit says. The Sfat HaMed also mentions that this might relate to the story in Gittin of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, where one of them was thrown out of a meal and it was so embarrassing that it led to the Korban HaBayit, so that even when someone throws you out, because of the embarrassment, you're allowed to stay so it doesn't lead to a situation of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. The Ein Mishpat also notes that there's an explanation, the Reshit Chochma, where he says that this is a figurative statement, that when it says, Kol Asher Amar Lecha Baal HaBayit, Asei Chutz Mitzeh, is referring to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that is, whatever Hashem says goes, except for Chutz Mitzeh, leave. Leave means no tshuva, you can't come back anymore. If ever you hear a voice like that, it says no possibility of tshuva, you don't have to listen, because we have a Masorah that everybody has the possibility of doing tshuva. And he bases it on the Gemara in Chagiga with regards to Elisha ben Abuya, when he turns into Acher and he hears a voice from the Kodesh HaKodeshim that tells him that he's not allowed to come back, and we assume that that was a mistake, he misheard it. Soloveitchik has a beautiful piece on that as well, which says that Elisha ben Abuya heard something that was for Acher, and he applied it to himself. Meaning that as Elisha ben Abuya, he had the ability to do tshuva. As Acher, he didn't have the ability to do tshuva. And the statement of the Kodesh HaKodeshim was speaking to Acher and saying, you don't have a chance of tshuva. But the inner Elisha ben Abuya did have a chance to do tshuva, and had he listened properly, he would have heard that.
So that's the first thing. My daima, ki av l'chol kasa, when we gave you a cup of wine, kabat b'chad zimna, you accepted it, you didn't refuse it. You didn't try to deter us from giving you a cup of wine. You only refuse, you only play hardball with someone who is not of stature, but someone's stature comes to you, you accept it right away. You don't refuse the request of someone who's a gadol. Someone's a katan, you say no. I mean, the same thing when they ask you to go up to the Almud to daven. You're supposed to say no. You're not supposed to jump and go right away. You're supposed to refuse the first time. That's derech eretz. So here, how come he didn't do that? Because in mesaving the gadol, if someone's gadol comes up to you, you go right away. Now, he couldn't give that answer for the previous case about the couch, because Amos having the gadol, because over there, it wasn't just stam, a regular thing, it was taking a position of stature. So over there, you can't just say, oh, we don't refuse the gadol, because over there, he was not only not refusing the gadol, he was taking a position of stature. So over there, he said, I had to listen to the balabite. He needed something stronger to say why he should go on the couch, and not reject or refuse to sit on the couch. My tama ishtate betrayed zimne. How come he took it down in two gulps? Amr lo, the tanya, shote kosobu bat achat. If you drink your cup in one shot, there is a gagaran. That's a glutton. That's someone who drinks and has no manners. Shnaim derech eretz. If you're doing two gulps, that's derech eretz. Shlosha. If you do it in little sips, migasei ruach. That already makes you haughty, makes you act in a way that is snobby because you are drinking in such small sips. My time alo ahadar tapecha. How come you didn't turn your face away when you drank? Out of politeness, you should turn away the drink. The only thing mentioned on Mishnah about somebody turning their face away is a kala. Nobody else has to turn their face away to eat. So he explained all of his behavior is based on the proper etiquette and why he did what he did, despite the fact that he wasn't anybody chashuv. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, Yiklo de Bei Rabbi Shimon, Bei Rabbi Yosef ben Lupinya. So differently in the Rishami, there's a different gear says who the person was. But here it's Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, Yiklo de Bei Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosef. You would think he was his brother, but no, because it says Rabbi Yosef ben Lupinya. To differentiate between the two Rabbi Yossi. So he went to visit his house. Yavli Kasa, they gave him a cup. Kabbali Bechad Zimna, he took it in one shot. They didn't refuse it. Shtia Bechad Zimna, and then he gulped it down in one shot. Amrlei, lo sabr lamar, hashote koso bevada chadar zeh gagaran. When you gulp down your cup in one shot, that's like a garden. That's inappropriate behavior. How could you do that? Amrlo, lo amrei, because ka katan. First of all, they didn't say it about your little cups here. They had tiny cups that you're giving us here. Vien chamatok and your sweet wine. They're talking about strong wine, big cups, big krisei rechava. And I happen to be a big guy. As Rashi notes over here, that he was a larger man. He's a larger man. Taking down a small cup like that with sweet wine was nothing to him. So over there, it wasn't necessarily etiquette for him to do it in two sips. He could take it down in one shot. But it has to be, if you want it two sips, it has to be a large enough cup. Number two, it has to be a case where the wine is strong, so you take it down slower. And number three is, it's a case where the person isn't so big. So Amar Avuna. Now Rashi reads this one way, and Tosafot brings the Rabbeinu Chanan, who reads it a different way. We'll read according to Rashi first. Rashi says it has nothing to do with the Karmen of Pesach, it has to do with broader etiquette and meals, which is Bnei Chabura Nichnasim B'Shlosha. People are coming to a meal, and they've hired a shamash to service them. They have to enter it three together. Yotzin Afilu Echad, and they can leave one at a time. Meaning that they cannot impose on the shamash to start to serving them one at a time. They have to enter together, the three of them together, because that's proper etiquette, and you don't ask the shamash to do extra work and feed each one of them separately. So they enter together. But they do have permission to leave individually. That's assuming that they came in at the normal time, they came in together at the normal time, and then if one of them wants to leave, that's fine. And that's only if they informed him ahead of time. They informed the shamash that one of them might leave early. And so he knew when they hired him that that was a possibility that he might have to tarry with some of the people. Amar Ravina, notnim schar damim. They have to pay the shamash for his work. Vetzarich acharon osif damim. And one who tarries the longest has to pay extra money for the shamash because he caused tircha to the shamash. The late tircha to kavatei and the loch is not like Ravina, meaning that when they hired them as a group, and the group understanding was that people might tarry. Some of them might leave early, some of them might leave later. And that's fine. And therefore, it was included in the salary or the money that they had agreed to pay to the shamash. And that's what they had agreed. They agreed to pay him. You have to pay him in money. They don't pay him in kind or in food. They pay him in money. And that money is assuming that this would be the scenario.
And that's what it means. Halacha is not like Ravina, that we don't make this individual who tarried a little bit, as long as he does it in a normal fashion, doesn't do it in excess, to pay extra money.
That's the way Rashi reads it. On the other hand, Tosafot brings from the Benu Chananeo, Chabura Shenunu ala Pesach, Ubal Mixat Mehem Be'et Shederach Menei Adam Lechol. These are a group of people who are together on a Karban Pesach, and some of them came at a time that it's normally time to start the Karban Pesach. Mishagru Adailo. They sent out the Shamash, the Chabesach Reyam, to find the other people in the Chabura so they could start. V'lo Matzan, and they didn't find them. Imnik Mitzurak Shlosha. If there are three of them there already, they can Ochlin et Pesach. They can start eating the Pesach, and they don't have to wait for the other group, because they tried to find them, number one, and number two is it's time, normal time to eat. If they're less than three, then they can't do that because they're not a group or a significant enough group to start without the others. Aval, in a case, if they all came together, and then some of them left to go do something, and then they send the shamash out to see if they can find them, and he can't find them, then in that case, even if they're less than three people, they can start eating, because at one point everybody was here. And the people left, that's their issue, and you can start eating because it's a normal time to start eating. And therefore each one of them is allowed to begin, and they don't have to wait around for anybody else because they're all there. It's a normal time to start, and therefore you don't even need three people in order to begin the eating in this case. That's the way Rabbeinu Hanano reads our Gemara as opposed to Rashi. But that will end Parak Ketzad Tzolin, Adran Alach, Ketzad Tzolin.